Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you've allowed us to be stewards of those things that can bring you glory. We think of all that you've given us, whether it be our money, our time, or our health. We want to use all these things to bring you glory. And we just pray that the lesson today will give us insight into how we can do that. And we draw us closer to you through this discussion, and we just thank you for this time and for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we looked at God's purposes for health. And by God's grace, most of the time we're healthy and not suffering from bad health, but that's not to say there isn't a lot of bad health. What are we supposed to do? How can we be good stewards when we have poor health? If God's the owner of our health and our bodies, shouldn't we consider how we can be good stewards in good health and in bad health? It's easy when we're in good health, or easier, I should say. So what does it look like to be a good steward when we're suffering from chronic conditions or disabilities or cancer or mental illness? Do you remember what Job said when his wife told him to curse God and die? He said, "Shall we receive good from God? Shall we not receive evil?" So there's two sides of this. And today we're going to talk about the evil side, I guess. It may be easier when Job says it, but how can we be good stewards when we have poor health? Any ideas, any thoughts how we can be good stewards when we have poor health? Yes. Excellent. These points are going to come out in the talk today. So very good. We're thinking, we're on the same wavelength here. So, well, where does sickness come from? I think most of us realize that God didn't intend for us to have sickness. In Genesis 1:31, he declares that his creation was very good. It was a picture of unbroken perfection, and there was no sickness. But then by chapter 3 of Genesis, sin enters the world through Adam, and God curses the world. Romans 8 explains that this sin and the resulting curse are the root source of the brokenness of this world. Reading Romans 8, verses 19 through 23, "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him, God, who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption, into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, redemption of our body." It's not a very pretty picture right now. The whole creation is groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Even those who have the Spirit of God dwelling within them, us. Why would God subject creation to such futility? Why? Well, look at verse 21 that we just read. "So it might be set free." Set free? How does that work? Let's look again back in Genesis, a little bit earlier in Genesis, in chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 28, chapter 1 of Genesis. "God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" God gave to Adam two basic commands: to fill the earth, make more images of God, more babies, and to subdue the earth, make the whole earth like the garden, the place where God dwelt with man. And in Habakkuk 2:14 says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That expresses what God commanded in Genesis 1:28. Make God's name known everywhere and fill the world with his glory. But when Adam and Eve chose sin, everything changed. Sin led to the curse, and the curse itself makes sense in light of the commands to fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 3:16, "To the woman he said, 'I will multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Let your desire, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you.'" God curses Eve's ability to have children. The command to fill the earth is cursed with pain. And God curses her relationship with her husband. She will have a desire to control her husband, but he will rule over her. The curse for Adam concerns the command to subdue the earth. Genesis 3:17 and 18. "Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you." He left out gophers. So looking back on Romans 8:21, what was Paul talking about when he states, "In hope that the creation itself will be set free from the slavery of corruption." Slavery of corruption. In a fallen world, we tend to make idols. We make idols of the things God created as good and satisfying, things meant to bring his glory to the ends of the world. Things like family, relationships, work, all good things. But in our fallen world, we're tempted to find satisfaction only in them and not in God. With these good things God created, we tend to make idols of them. And we become slaves to such corruption. But God makes sure that such slavery could never satisfy, leaving us longing for him. Do we ever realize that God's judgment in Genesis 3 is a reflection of his mercy? Because of sin, in God's mercy, he subjected the world to the curse so that the world's brokenness will never satisfy, and that will drive us to him. Just look at how Ecclesiastes describes life under the curse. It's vanity, pointless, striving after the wind. It's meaningless. God, in his mercy, made sure that in this life we would not find true meaning in anything but him. And such truth has important ramifications for how we face times of poor health. John Piper has a blog called Don't Waste Your Cancer. In that blog, he says, "It will not do to say to God only use. It will not do to say that God only uses our cancer, but does not design it. When God permits, he permits for a reason, and that reason is his design. If you don't believe your cancer is designed for you by God, you will waste it." Interesting. The author of this study goes on to say, "We need to stop thinking that our goal is to get through the hard times so that we can have life back the way it was before. Instead, we must begin thinking that our goal is to accept what God has given us and with the eyes of faith, knowing it is good for us." Difficult words. Unless we realize that God has purposes for our poor health. So let's look at some of the purposes in poor health. It's easy to say that we need to look with eyes of faith. It's easy to say that, but it's not easy to do. But isn't that part of being a good steward? Accepting that God's purposes are better than we could have chosen for ourselves? How do we make faith happen? How can we trust God? What are his purposes in allowing illness? Once again, we can find answers in his word. In his word, he has shown us that he can use times of sickness and disability to further his good purposes. Purposes to help us believe. We will go through four different ways, different purposes that God has for poor health. And those are in your handout. Number one, that we might hate sin. Make sure that's in there. We live our lives in this world with a natural bias for sin and against God. God hates sin, and we should long to hate sin as well. When we view sickness, we're looking at the effects of sin in all its ugliness. Romans 8 tells us that sickness is the fruit of sin in this world. Can you think of someone's sickness that gave you a new hatred for sin? Can you think of any? Adultery. Last night, Wayne and I were at the jail, and one of the guys, and I think I mentioned him last week, he sits in front and he says, "I am addicted to drugs. I have an addiction to drugs." And it's like he doesn't want to give it up. He was almost bragging about it. And you just see that's sin. How's he going to escape? We said, you're not going to get over this. He's waiting for a program. He's waiting for a program. I said, you need to wait for the Lord. You're not going to get over this. Anyway, sin has its consequences. And we should hate sin because we see those consequences in illness. So when we encounter poor health in ourselves or in others, take the opportunity to let it inflame your hatred for sin. That kind of hatred is a valuable hatred because God hates that way. Well, another purpose for our poor health is to wean us from self-sufficiency. We can see a good example of this in Paul's life. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 through 10. "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivers us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us." Well, he says in verse 9 there that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. And notice that Paul despairs even of life. He thought he was going to die. When he felt that he was teetering on the brink of death, he discovered another purpose of suffering. That we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God uses the wasting of our bodies to wean us from self-dependence. He knows that dependence on him is the source of the greatest happiness that health could ever bring. By faith, we must believe this as well. Throughout our lives, we can see that God is teaching us to depend not on ourselves, but on him. As we go through the stages of life, we may think our choices control specific directions of our lives. But if we're honest, we can see that we're not in control, but God is. Depending on God can be confusing. It's not like God controls our every movements and arms and legs. However, depending on God boils down to a couple of basic directions in our lives. When things go wrong, Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord declares his steps. Living in dependence on God means that when he changes course, we are content to trust that his ways are best, rather than trying desperately to seize control and turn back in the direction we came from. But what about the other direction? When things go right, our responsibility is for faithfulness, and God's responsibility is for results. When we are depending on God, we will naturally give him the praise when things go well, because we recognize that everything comes from him. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do I have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? God may even use pain to guide us toward wisdom, wisdom that is more valuable than the pain. Psalm 119:67 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Have you ever seen for yourself or others times when poor health helped them live more dependent on God? Anybody? I think we have. Some people handle the sickness by depending more on God. And that's what we should do. So we've seen two purposes God may have for poor health. One, that we may hate sin. And two, to wean us from self-sufficiency. Now a third, poor health gives others opportunities to serve. And once again, Paul's a good example in Galatians 4:13-15. But you know that it was because of a bodily illness that I preached the gospel to you the first time. And that which was a trial to you in my bodily condition, you did not despise or loathe. But you received me as an angel of God, as Jesus Christ himself. Where then is that sense of blessing you had? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. As you probably know, Paul worked as a tent maker to support himself when he was planting most of the churches during his trips. But in Galatia, he was sick. And it was because of his illness that the churches of Galatia rallied and became united in serving his needs. Not through strength, but through illness. And often that's how God uses poor health. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have these treasures in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Poor health forces us to depend on others. And how does God use this for good? One way, by correcting that lie that worth is found through productivity. Our stewardship is based on our faithfulness, not on our productivity. God doesn't need us to accomplish what he wants. In his good pleasure, God gives us work to do in order to show off his work through us. And God may use sickness or disability to wean us from our sense of self-worth, our feeling of we can do it. Our worth and our value is found in our faithfulness, not in what we can do on our own. Another way God can use poor health for good is by creating opportunities to glorify God by depending on others. The author calls this the ministry of dependency. To us, it seems sad when we see a once strong person become a pain to be around because they cannot stand having others depend on him. They can't stand depending on others. But it seems that Paul accomplished more in Galatia by depending on others in his ailment than he could have done in his health. Depending on others gives them the opportunity to glorify God in their service to you. And dependence models contentedness with God's will. You may actually end up serving them more than they serve you. You may show an example of godliness that wouldn't have been seen if you were healthy. And one more way God may use poor health for good is to encourage the faith of others. Regardless of whether the health improves or not, seeing your faith may very well strengthen the faith of those watching. And whatever the outcome of the illness, in eternity, the difficulty will pale next to that faith, which Peter says is of greater worth than gold. Well, I've got another story for you, maybe not as good as Shotgun Al last week. But I was working in, I worked in the pediatric intensive care unit at Washoe Medical Center for a number of years. And one day they brought in a 13-year-old girl who had lost consciousness for unknown reasons. She just unconscious, and they couldn't revive her. She was breathing still. She was alive, but she was encephalopathic is the term. Her brain wasn't working. And that's a very difficult diagnosis to make because it's there's many, many things that can cause it. It probably took 2 or 3 hours of doing tests. Still had no idea what was going on, but we drew all the labs, we sent things off, we did all the scans, we did this and that. No answers. And eventually, I said, I have to go talk to the dad. The mother wasn't there. I don't know where she was. The dad was in the waiting room. I said, we're doing everything we can. We don't know what's going on. I think your daughter's dying. She's getting worse. There's nothing we can do. He said, but I need to tell you, I'm praying for your daughter. He looked at me and he said, I'm praying for you. Talk about faith. She ended up dying. She had some liver disorder that caused her to have byproducts that caused the brain damage. And she ended up dying. He became our chaplain for the ICU for years. That encourages the faith of others. Well, one more purpose God has for our poor health. I'm sorry. If you think it's easy to take care of sick kids, it's not. So we've looked at purposes that we may hate sin, to wean us from self-sufficiency, to give others opportunity to serve. And the next one is, poor health makes us long for heaven. We've looked at where sickness comes from in the mercy and judgment of God and the curse in the garden. But that's not the end of the story. Revelations 21, 3 and 4. Behold, the tabernacle of God is among you, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. Every sickness is temporary. God will finally set creation free from the bondage of corruption. Disease, sickness, disability, pain will be replaced with a glorious body. Paul certainly experienced a lot of illness and pain while ministering to others, but he only saw the suffering as a reminder that he is headed to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, 2 through 4, for indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Remember that the battle to preserve our bodies, our tents, is a battle that we're going to lose. But it should remind us that we all will soon cast off these bodies and be swallowed up by life. Well, finally, there are some application points for us, for all of this, for living as faithful stewards of our health. What does that look like when health is not good? Number one, be willing to accept a different role. That's one of the comments here. Remember, just like your money and your time, what God gives you in health is no accident. Be willing to accept change. Number two, be wise in taking action. Sometimes there's a contradiction between taking action ourselves and trusting in God. When we remember that faithfulness is the goal of a steward, this contradiction disappears between taking action ourselves and trusting God. God's normal means of preserving our health is his common grace of the medical community. Refusing to make use of these resources because we trust God to heal us is a bit like saying, I'm too special to merely have God's normal means of provision. I want him to provide in a special way that's fantastic, that shows how special I am to him. We trust God to provide in our retirement. We save money if he's given it to us because we want to be faithful stewards. In the same way, we pursue medical care for our health in order to be faithful stewards as well. Remember that whatever healing occurs, by whatever means, he provides. This is the single most important thing that occurred to me when I became a believer in my training. Seeing this sort of stuff before, depending on God, and after. And since then, it's grown more and more. But to see, to give medicine and to see a body healed, it's really wrong for any physician or any person to think that that medicine is what did it. God did it. And God gives us means of healing ourselves through common grace. We can't ignore the boat that's coming while the flood's rising. Get in the boat. God's given us means. It's not us. It's not physicians. It's not the doctors, the hospitals, or anything else. It's God. He uses different means. So however healing occurs, praise God. But don't worry where he uses, how he got you there. And one more thing here is that we trust in God. Remember that our primary goal when we're suffering from poor health is not to preserve our bodies. It's to preserve our faith. All suffering is a battle for faith. And suffering is what shows our faith to be genuine. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We pursue medical care to be faithful, but we trust in God. And trusting in God doesn't mean trusting in God doesn't mean we pressure him to heal. Trusting in God means that he has the power to heal. Trusting in God means we believe we will be healed on the other side of death. Trusting in God means that whether he chooses to heal in this life or in death, his decision is best because he knows and loves us. And that's the peace that transcends all understanding. Lastly, keep your mind focused on heaven. This world would suggest that without health, you're lost. But Jesus has a better way. He is the author of health, the great physician. He is good. He has good plans for you no matter the state of your body's decay. No matter your health, the greatest joy is bound up in your service to Him. And even when you draw closer to heaven in this progressively weakening body, it's our service to Him that's most important. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you've given us health. We're grateful that you give us means to improve our health from time to time, but we depend on you and your choices for us. It all comes from you. Thank you for the example that you give us in your word. Thank you for the example that you give us as we see others around us who are ill, or we are ill ourselves. Help us to follow these guidelines, to understand your purposes in our health. Help us to be good stewards, not just in our money and our time, but in our health, good or bad. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this study. We pray for the service to come. Please be with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.